Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, and we're so glad that you joined us again tonight, another Sunday Night Live. I'm really excited. I'm feeling blessed. We've gotten so much rain this week, and just what a great thing to experience. You know, real quick, I want to introduce my guest. I have my husband here with me tonight. My handsome hubby here, James Thomas, and I've got Dalen Kirkland. He lives here in Wheeler and attends Cornerstone Church. And welcome, guys. Good to have you here tonight.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Have you not loved this rain?
Love it.
Always.
Oh, man. I tell you what, being in June like this, well, it actually makes me think of when we said on the show a couple of weeks ago when there was a prophecy that was said that the rain is coming. And not only was it a physical rain, but I believe that we're about to have a spiritual rain. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to be moving like we've never seen before. And I'm really excited about that. And it actually, the song that says God is on the move, as we opened up the show, that is so true, that God is on the move. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life, God is on the move. And so do you guys want to add anything to that before we get started with our show?
No, I just think like last week on Wednesday, we had rain that morning, and there wasn't even rain in the forecast for us. There was all saying it was going to miss us. We wasn't going to get any. And then the rain just showed up. And as it came that morning, you know, I was just like, Lord, thank you for the rain. Thank you. And that's how His Spirit does. He just shows up. We're not even expecting Him. He's just going to move in, and He's just going to show up.
That's right.
And that's what made me think of it.
That He's always there. Yeah, He's ready to pour out.
He just shows up, ready to go, even though He's not forecasted to be there by some people.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Well, Dalen, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. You know, my husband said that you have a really amazing testimony, and you may have already shared it on Sunday Night Live before, but I've never heard it, and so I'm really interested in hearing that. But just tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll just start with that.
Okay. You want to hear the full testimony, or you just want to hear parts of the testimony? Or?
You just tell whatever God has put on your heart, okay, and whatever you feel led to share. We're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to have reign here tonight.
Okay. I gave my testimony here before with Mark in a my testimony is, it's all about God. It's not really my testimony. It's His testimony, but I love to share it anyway. I didn't give my life to God. I didn't totally surrender to Him until I was 42 years old, which that means I'm still a new Christian. I'm 53 now. It's 11 years, serving Him and, being blessed by Him. And before this time, I was raised up in a good childhood. I say a good childhood. My dad drank 2.5 gallons of whiskey a day, which wasn't, back then it wasn't not a day, but a week. And which then was, didn't seem like a big thing to anybody. It seemed like everybody did it then. That was the normal thing.
Yeah.
But growing up, I knew they loved me, even though love you wasn't a part of our speech. We lived at Seminar Wood. We lived on the farm, and he'd worked for Gary Oldham for years. And I love being in the country, love hunting, love Love working in the fields, love sitting irrigation lines, and grew up there in eighth grade. My eighth grade year, we moved to Shamrock. And I got to know everybody at Shamrock, and I grew up there and graduated there. And but during that time, after graduation, I got into some drugs. I'd had a job and stayed working all the time. I was working at the store at Jack's Discount Center and there in Shamrock when I started when I was 15. My brother-in-law and sister owned the store. And we, the drinking, I did the drinking. I did partly a little bit of marijuana and nothing very, very hard. I didn't like no marijuana. I just liked to drink. Well, at the, when I was 18, I'd robbed the store at Jack's there at Shamrock and, which Market Square does own now. But, they sent me to rehab and I got probation for that. And I found one thing going to rehab, I'd heard of methamphetamines. And I didn't know what that was, but they made it, when I was hearing this, is a 30-day rehab. And 30 days not good for anybody to get to know anything about the Lord or anything else. You need to really experience Him. And they wasn't putting, right. It wasn't a faith base. It was just a straight rehab. And after I got out, I wanted to try that because they made it sound so good. Everybody out here talking about it in there. So I was still serving probation for that. Then I got two DWIs and it moved on. And I thought, man, I got to settle down. And I was in and out of church, in and out of church. I was going to Calvary Christian there at Shamrock. Brother Joe would never give up on me. Brother Joe Jernigan never give up on me. He knew if I was doing right, he still welcomed me every time to the church. I was going there to seeing what girl I could date or seeing what they had to eat on Sunday after yeah. church. So
anything to get you there.
Anything to get me there.
Yeah.
It was I robbed the store. I'm trying to sit back and think back where I was at there. Anyway, I got married. Later on, right after I got a rehab, I met a girl. I got married. We had a son. We lost two sons, and I was kind of going to church there, and I was kind of familiar with God, and not like a one-on-one relationship, but I was still, I knew there was a God. I just wasn't knowing what was going on. And we stayed in and out of church mainly because of me. I wasn't there for the right reason. I don't think I was just going through the motions.
Yeah.
And, we'd lost two sons and, at birth. And then finally Brother Joe finally said, we need to pray. When he come see me, he said, we need to pray about this and everything. So the next time she was pregnant, they laid hands on her. And my son was born. That was when my son was born. And I give that credit, everything to God there. Everything that happens is God. But, the marriage was still going great. I stopped doing some of the things I was, but then I went back into it. The marriage got rough, and then we finally divorced. Me and my son was kind of inseparable. I loved him more than anything. Well, the divorce caused hardships, and then I got into drugs more, and then later on, my son was with me in the pickup and he had opened the glove box and he thought he'd seen some drugs there, which I don't know if there was drugs there or not. I can't tell you for sure or not. Anyway, he didn't have nothing to do with me. He had to be around 9 years old then, somewhere in there. And man, he was my heart. Instead of having God as my heart there, it was my son. And it kind of tore me apart. He didn't want to do nothing with me and she didn't want me around him or anything. So I went 7 years without seeing my son.
Oh, wow.
Well, during this time, I went to doing flowback and more drugs, and I was making $250,000 a year, and I was using the money to do everything but the right thing. Well, after 2 years, I'd done $500,000 in 2 years. I'd lost my job because I got so high I couldn't get to my job. So I got fired or whatever you want to, fired or quit, whatever. After that, 3 months later, and all the money I'd made, I had $5,000 in hot checks here. Mm-hmm. And it all come to the court at Wheeler. And he said, maybe you can just bring me the cash. I'll do away with it. Well, I didn't. Well, I broke probation again I was broke. Utilities cut off at my house. which my brother-in-law owned the house. I owned very little of it. The assault with a deadly weapon was back on probation, and then I was at the end where I couldn't go, I'd go 6 months without drugs. I wanted to quit, couldn't quit. Go a year, couldn't quit. And I'd met Brenda. She got to see the bad part, a little bit of the bad part. And she was my girlfriend then. And it was a Saturday night. And I was laying in bed, and it was right at midnight, and I'd called out on God's name. And I was bawling. I said, man, if you're real, I said, just show me you're real. Give me something. Give me anything. I don't care. Well, when you call out on God's name, he shows up. He showed
that's
up.
That's right. That's right.
So that Sunday, I went and told Brother Joe what me and Brendan went to church, and I went in there and I told Brother Joe, I said, I got to talk to you. It's like 20, 30 minutes before church. He said, let's go back to my office. And we went to his office. I said, I'm going to tell the cops what I did. I said, man, I had an experience with God last night, I believe. He says, okay. He said, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. He said, this is your 15 minute out. He said, you go to the cops, you tell them whatever you had to do. You come back here. If you don't come back, no hard feelings. If you do, that's great. He'd been watching over me this whole time. He wasn't playing games with it no more. So he said, you just come back if you do. And if it's fine, if you don't, I understand. So I went and talked to the cops. And when you do that, they record everything you're saying.
Right.
Just like right now. But, except this can go against you. So, then I went back to church, and I wasn't listening to the sermon. I couldn't hear the sermon. Something was going on, but I heard the altar call. God was so strong on me at that moment, and it seemed like I floated to the altar. It just, when the altar call come, and I got down there, and one man, his name's R.B. Doctor, he's passed on now, but he come down there and prayed with me, and I felt a little hand on me. I thought, that my son's here. I thought, boy, they come in. And, when I got up, I told Brother Joe, I said, where's my son? Where's he at? He said, he ain't here. Well, when I got up, the whole congregation was on one side, and me and RB was on the other. They'd pray with me, and me and Brother Joe talked, and I told him, I said, man, I need to change. And he said, I understand. He prayed with me again, and, I couldn't believe that it wasn't my son. He said, that's Tanner. That was a boy here in the church, which I knew who it was. And the probation officer called me right after church, and she belonged to a ministry, motorcycle ministry. She said, well, we're going to come by. We're going to come by on a visit with you. So they come by, and they prayed with me at my house, me and Brenda. And then she told me, I need to see you in my office Monday morning. It's not going to change anything. So I was headed to prison then. So I go see her Monday, and she said, where do you want to go? What? She said, prison Breckenridge is where you're probably going to end up, Safe P or whatever that is. And I said, I don't care what it is, as long as there's faith-based program there, anything goes on. And that's when I ended up going to Life Challenge. I was the first student at Life Challenge when they did this, because they just now, she was doing research on a place for me to go, and they had just opened it back up, and that's where I went to. And my ex-mother-in-law then, I'd seen her right before I left, and she was at the store. Or not the store, but Hasty's restaurant. And I walked in, and she said, did you hear the good news? And I thought, she said, I heard the good news that I'd got saved. I said, you heard I got saved? And she says, no, I didn't hear it. Did you? I said, yes. And I told her. She said, well, your son got saved the exact same time as 200 miles away in Lubbock, Texas. The exact same time he received gifts then, and it was just, that was the Holy Spirit working 200 miles apart.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
was amazing. So I went on to Life Challenge, and I was there for a year. And then they have teachers there in the morning. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you go to class for 4 hours in the morning, and it's all about God. It's 14 group studies of how to be first it starts out just how to be a Christian. It shows you how to be a man, how to be a God-fearing man, how to love God, and it just goes on till there's anything you want to know about God, it's there. And it's and that's where I had surrendered September 23rd there in Shamrock in 2012. But my total complete surrender was there at Life Challenge. And I thought I was there for myself. I thought, man, this is mine and God's time. And 3 months into it, there was a young man come in there, and his name was Kevin. He was a Spanish kid, and he was 18. He couldn't speak much English, and he kind of weirded me out a little bit. But he come into my room. Lights out are at 10 o'clock. He come into my room, and he said, "Hey, S.A., can you show me how to tie a tie?" I said, "No, go to your room." I said, "Don't. Go to bed." And this time I'd been praying for a restoration between me and my son. Even though he was saved and I was saved the same exact time, we still didn't have a relationship. I hadn't even heard from him. And so he didn't want to talk to me either. I got a word from God. This first time God ever put a word in my heart that I knew he was speaking directly to me. And he told me right then, he said, "You want me to restore your relationship with your child, but you can't even help me with a child of mine."
Oh, wow.
And boy, that I was convicted. I was blown away. This kid ended up leaving the next day. And because you can leave there anytime, unless you're court ordered, you can still leave, but you'll get in trouble. But I was court ordered. This kid wasn't. But anyway, he got to the mall. The cops got him that night and brought him back. And I told God, I said, "Whatever it takes, I'm going to help. Whatever you say do is what I'm going to do." And that's what I've been trying to do. I'll do my best to do that. So I tried with this boy, and I tried everything I could. He still ended up leaving like a week later. But I poured out my heart to him, and I tried to, as far as giving him the word of what the Bible, I thought then was what he needed to hear. I tried everything I could, but he ended up leaving, which I knew I did everything I could. So
you planted the seed.
I planted the seed. So later on life, I graduated Life Challenge, and then I told Brenda was wanting to get married. I stayed on staff there another 6 months, and she never gave up on me, stayed with me. When I got out, I told her, I said, "Go on, be with your kids." I said, I don't want to be with you. I'm going to preach the world. I thought I was supposed to be a preacher or some sort of anything like that. But, you know, your plan and God's plan is never the same. So God had put her in my life, and he showed me that I can be ministering, even working at a grocery store, and shaking somebody's hand, telling them hi, handing them like I was cutting meat. I could give them a package of meat and thank them. You can still do ministry at any time. It don't matter where you're at or what you're doing.
That's right.
So we got married, and I worked a little while. Then I was about 500 pounds in. And why she wanted to be with a 500-pound man, I have no idea. But anyway, she stayed with me. She even supported me for a year and a half. I got on disability for a year and a half. And then she supported me that whole time. And God put somebody in your life. You know, I don't know how she did this, but it has to be God. But I had the surgery. I'd lost down to 215. I was fixing to go back to work. I'd got my CDLs back. I was fixing to go to the driving truck, got my hazmat. And then she called me one day, and she said, "Tom Velasquez is wanting to talk to you at the office." He said he'd come in asking about you. I said, "Okay, I'll go talk to him." And I knew he done knew I robbed the store and everything like that before. And I thought, well, he's wanting to know something now. So I go over there, and he told me, he says, "Your name has come up 6 times. And we had done got plugged into Cornerstone here. Mm-hmm. We was going pretty regular. Well, we go regular anyway, don't we? It seems like when the door's open. But he said, "Your name's come up about 6 times. So I gave him part of my testimony then about everything. And he said, "Man, I really needed to hear that." He said, I need to do some of those things. And he asked me if I wanted to go back to work at Shamrock. And that's the same store I robbed. I said, "Well, I can't." And he said, "Why?" And you know, God's got a sense of humor when he's going to put you back to the place that, you know, he
right.
does everything
yeah.
in opposite.
That's what I was thinking. Wow.
So that's where I was going to go back to. And I said, "I can't. We only got one vehicle, and she works here, and I haven't got a vehicle." He said, "Is that all that's keeping you from going back to work?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "I could work over here wherever you need." He says, "Well, no." He said, "I need you over there." So he said, "Go find you a vehicle for $8,000, and I'll pay for it, and you just pay me back in your check." And that was God's continuing to bless me in different
over
ways.
And
so,
over.
So I go to Shamrock, and I work there cutting meat, and I'm there for a year and a half, 2 years. Then he calls me and says, he said, "Would you want to run the store in Wheeler?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "That would be, I told him, whatever you need me to do is what I'll do." That's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him before I started over there, I said, "As long as I can stay in the ministry doing whatever God needs to do." And he said, "I wouldn't have it any other way." He said, "Whatever you need to do."
Oh, so, that's awesome.
So, and there, when you work for godly people, it's much easier than when you're not. So they can understand what's going on in your life and
how important it is.
Yeah, and they don't mind praying with you either. So, and you can pray with them. So I've been managing this store for 2 years, and to get back to my son, I got out of life challenge. While still in life challenge, he needed a passport signed so he could go to Ireland with the band, with his band.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he had to see me.
Now, so, how old was he at this time?
At this time, he was 17. I think 17.
17. Okay.
17. And then, so he had to see me, and he's still in high school. So he had to be around 16, 17. And I went up there to, and they come to Amarillo, and we went to go get, I went to sign it, and he was there. And I asked him how he's doing. He wouldn't talk to me. And so I signed the paper. I said, can you, me and you get a picture together? And he said no. And, I just walked off because I was about to cry. Well, I was crying on the way. I just turned and walked away. And then his mother was trying to tell him, at least give him a hug. And he said no. So I thought, man, this is it. It's for real. He's not going to have nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. So it's in God's timing. A buddy of mine went through a life challenge. He gave me a Bible, an NIV Bible. Me and him spent a year together. But that's the only Bible, the first Bible I got somebody give to me that I read through and through. I had every verse marked I'd ever read that I had it in different colors. I've still got it, but I took it when I went with him and I gave it to his mother. I said, please give this to him. And I wrote down things in this Bible and everything that I talked about him in the back of the pages. I talked about how I loved the way he was saved, when he was saved, and how he was serving God. He got the Bible. It was like a year later. I kept on
mm-hmm.
trying to talk to him. Finally, he talked to him. He said, I'll meet you in Lubbock at one of the Mexican food places. I don't remember where it's at, on the border or something. So we meet and we talk. We're getting a relationship then. And then it's getting better, and God's still in it. We pray every time we eat. Then it gets a little better, and it keeps getting better. And to this day now, we talk to each other at least 3 to 4 times a week, and we try to make a concert or a record store. He loves records. He loves music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we go do. So we have it's the best father relationship I could ever ask for.
So God restored that relationship.
Yeah, he restored everything. Anything I lost, he tripled, he quadrupled, he tenfold, whatever you want. He redid everything from losing the whole family, losing my house, losing my vehicles, losing, all I had to offer God was me, and it was screwed up, and he still took it. So,
mm-hmm.
And, he's blessed me through, he still blesses me today with whatever goes on in life. And just like the pastor says, just to make the next right decision. And I try to make the next right decision, even when I'm thinking I still may waver there on the decision, but it's the next right decision. And, the relationship me and him have now is, and it's due to some of the teachings in Life Challenge on God and how to be a man, how to be a father, you can't just leave them and go on. You've got to fight. You've got to fight for your son, and you've got to have God in your life to enable to fight for what's right and everything. So,
and well, that's good. And so you said that after going through all that, you were ready to go be a preacher. You thought you were going to preach the world.
I thought I was going to preach the world. I thought, yeah, yeah.
God, no. I mean, yeah. And so with that being said, you've been coming to Cornerstone. You go to Cornerstone here
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
Which to me, it seems like you've been going here forever. So
yeah, it's been.
But through that, has God led you into any type of ministries that you are over right now?
Yes, there's several different ministries. It's all in one, but it's been over 40 weddings I've done, probably over 60 funerals now. Me and Brenda was trying to count them the other day.
Wow.
And then the jail ministry here on Thursdays at 10 o'clock. And this last week, it's usually 3 to 4 guys. This last Thursday, I had 16 guys in there, and it was amazing on what was going on. And I know I ain't saying I'm a young Christian, and I know parts of the Bible. But that day, scripture started flowing. Scriptures I'd put back in my head that I thought I'd done forgot started coming out, and these guys was receiving it, and God was working. And the next day I got to visit a guy that called me back there and got to lead him to the Lord that day. So that was even,
That's great.
God is just, he's God, like we, I think me and James talked earlier about the church is working outside the building so much right now. It's coming. It's way out of the, we have church here, but it's out of the building now everywhere. So it's getting bigger and bigger.
Well, and really the way I kind of see it, and I don't know if you agree, but when we come to church, we fuel ourselves to get us ready to prepare us to go out.
Right.
to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
And because we all know the church is not the building. The church is the people.
Right.
And so with that, I know you said earlier that you've had some things happen at your job now. Are you able to minister any at your job? Or
yes, there's I've been here a little over 2 years at this store here in Wheeler, and there's kids nowadays that don't have a father. And if they do have a father, they're gone, or they're abusive, and I get to minister to these kids, and I get to tell them about my father, my heavenly father. And that's where I've took some of them some Bibles that's they depend on that. And it's where they don't have to depend on the father that's not there, but the father that'll always be there.
That's right.
It's our Lord and Savior. So and you can see the change in these boys and girls' eyes whenever this happens. And it don't happen overnight. Like, nothing's ever happened overnight with me besides the midnight deal calling out on God and him showing up right then. But nothing ever happens for me. Like, it's that one time it happened right then. But you can see over the months how some of these kids are changing.
And then that, like, God, I think we all want the overnight experience. At least I do. I want the right now experience. But God, typically I've seen it's a process.
Yes.
And I think it's because he's pleased by our faith and to build our faith and trusting in him. And I just think that was so cool, though, when you said that when you were in the jail and you were ministering and these scriptures that were just coming back. Well, it's so cool to know that the Holy Spirit was just moving in that place and bringing that back to remembrance so you could probably bless this guy. And he was drawn to the Lord. And so God's really using you mightily.
Yes. Well, I don't think it's me. I think it's all him. That's it, definitely, because nothing can happen without him. He's when I said I'd do anything for him, it kind of put me in a situation to where some things I didn't want to do. But
isn't that about right?
But you're still doing them. So, but it's the whole experience since I gave him my life has been a blessing and exciting. My wife, people say, how do you pray before every meal? And I don't know. It just become habit. I don't know if it's habit or just thankful, or maybe I got some bad food and I don't want to have bad food when I say a blessing. So it's
right.
So I don't know.
And just thankful for it.
Right.
You know, just thankful that God has provided another meal for that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that he takes care of us. And that's how I feel when we pray over our meals. I'm just thankful. And, you know, I think sometimes, James, we're like, we're just thankful we can eat what we want, not what we have to.
Right.
You know, and just thankful for that. We're not stuck with the rice and beans or whatever. Although we like rice and beans. I mean, that's like one of our favorite meals.
There's
red beans.
Not much I don't like, so I'm pretty much like everything.
So you said that you have done weddings and funerals. Well, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
People just come to you and ask you to do these things, or
one of the funerals started when I was in Life Challenge, and it started out as family, and then I did that funeral, and now it seems like people call for prayer. People, it seems like, I don't know. I don't want to say this in a bad way, but it seems like some of them don't want to rely on God. They want me to rely on God for them. Does that make sense?
Well, and that's usually what happens is people don't feel like they can pray to God. They have to go to somebody else that gets results
right.
for them to pray for them.
And,
yeah.
Well, they seem to change from where I was. And like a lot of people in this town don't know me. And I spoke at the Civic Center a couple months ago for Life for the Lost, a life challenge. And I got to see all the old pastors because we did like five or six services a week. And every church around. It wasn't just any church. We did them all, from the Baptist to the Assembly of God to Arena of Life, the Cowboy Church, everywhere. We went to all the churches. And I got to see all the old friends and all the pastors that was there, and I made a ton of friends. I got more pastors in my phone now than I do have drug dealers, so that's a good thing.
That is a positive.
And some of them are drug. We used to be drug dealers, so that's all right. So,
yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
because we're not who we were
then.
Yeah, that's right. We are who God says we are now.
People see me who I am now instead of who I was then. But that's one of the reasons I get called to do this, because people have seen what God has done, not what I've done, but the change in me.
That's right.
And they knew how I was. I was one of the sorriest low dogs on a totem pole there. So it was, but they see what God has done, and I don't know if I think they want that, but I think, I don't know. I don't want them to have to rely on me, because I'm not doing that. I want to know that God's the one that does all that.
Yeah, and it's them being drawn to you because they have seen that, and then just showing them as you're going about that this is what I do, and you can do it too, you know, and I'm sure that's what you're doing, but that is so amazing, and I love the fact that just the way God has restored everything in your life.
Yeah, it's...
And so I just really have it on my heart. If we've got anybody listening out there that you've got a past and you've got some things that you've done, God can restore relationships. God can restore things that have been stolen and lost for you. And so we just really want to encourage you to just keep going and keep going. God can restore all of that and bring you to a place. With that being said, Daylan, would you be willing to pray for those that are listening that might have be going through something, or may have some things that's been stolen in their life, or whatever just God puts on your heart for our listeners? Would you just say a prayer for them?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you. We honor you. We thank you, Father. We know you are the healer, and we know you're the ultimate physician, Father. And we know that people out there that are needing help, Father. And Father, well, we're not the fixer. We can't fix ourselves. We can't fix people. That's all up to you, Father. And Father, I know there's ones out there that's wanting to call out on you tonight. And Father, that all they have to do is call on your name, because you show up. You show up for me, you'll show up for them, and you do every single time, Father. And Father, we just ask that anybody out there that is needing you, Father, just to call out on you and ask you into their heart, Father. Reach down and touch someone's heart tonight, Father, because you are all we need. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. That's right. He is all we need. And I think sometimes, like you said, you lived a life that you just thought was normal, and it led you on, and God showed you, and he brought you to a place that showed you what real life was like.
What reality is.
What reality is. And you know, in that, right, and I can tell that God really has done great things in your life, and that you know it's God. He absolutely had nothing to you, and that's when you know it's genuine and it's real. And so with that being said, and with everything that God has done in your life, you know, you've been going to Cornerstone here, and has God, you know, because one thing I think is really important that men step up and do those things, and that's kind of what we're wanting to talk a little bit about this month. And so how do you feel about that, serving in the church, and how important is that to you?
I figure right out of Life Challenge, they encourage you to get plugged into a church. Be comfortable with the church. If you're not plugged in, you're going to go back to your old ways or whatever you're going to do. But when I come here, and we'd moved here, but I was going to Calvary Christian. But when we come here, I walked in the door, and Pastor Mercer, I enjoyed his deal, but he brought up, and it's my life scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, anyone being in Christ is a new creation. It says, behold, it says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that scripture that day, and I told Brent, I said, this is our church right here. This, I don't know what's going on, but that's my scripture. And maybe it's just coincidence, but I believe it's God. So that's, and I said, this is where we need to be. And so
That's awesome. I don't believe in coincidences.
So,
that was God.
Divine appointment.
Yeah. Divine appointment, Holy Spirit, divine intervention right there. Mm-hmm. So we're really glad to have you guys here, and y'all are such a blessing to the church. So with that, God has done these things in your life. How has that affected your other family life with, say, your dad and things like that?
My dad and mother both passed away at that, but my brothers and sisters, they were ready to wash their hands with me. They was done, one of them, just about completely. And they knew what I was doing. I wasn't fooling nobody. And I was pretty open anyway, just as open as I am now. And they was ready to be done with me. And now they call them, I prayed for one today, one of my sisters. My family reunion, when I go to it, I do the opening prayer. Then I may have to be talking to some of their, they want me to talk to some of their kids, or they want to, somebody that's going through what I went through. Or family life is completely different than, because there really wasn't a family life before that. Now, I went to a reunion, but I was there to get drunk or high or whatever that with some of my other family that we'd slip off. But now it's my brothers, or not my brother, but my dad's brothers, my dad's sisters, I've done since I've got out. I've done the funerals for just, there's one left, and I've done the funerals for them, and we just done one here a couple months ago. And I'm still doing the funeral part with all the family, but then I'm still doing people I've never met before. I don't even know. They've called me in on some of them. And that's where the blessing comes with God's word, because if you don't know the person, that's all you have is God's word. You don't have the eulogy for them, so you need to go back to God's word. And that person, their fruits show, but if you don't know the person, you can't even talk about the fruits that's going on. So you have, that's when you get a chance to preach to the people that are still here.
That's right.
And that's who you're consoling. That's who you want to know that our Lord is all we have, and He loves us unconditionally. We talked about agape love earlier, and that's you get to speak that to Him, and you get to give His word. So,
and so, where your family was ready to give up on you, they now look up to you enough to where they are wanting you to do funerals and weddings, I'm assuming, and that, so God even changed that relationship around completely too, is your, that family.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for anybody out there that may be struggling, maybe in some of the things that you're struggling, that's listening to this radio station, you know, listening tonight? What type of advice would you give people for that are going through that?
Never quit. God is the way in the life. That's it. Man, it's when I talk to people on a regular basis, like we celebrate recovery here, we do, and I get to have fun in there, and we get to talk. And but when I talk to a person one on one, and I know what they're going through, I'm hard and I'm mean. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Stern, maybe.
Well, it's a life and death situation. It's not a joke.
That's people, right.
In the drugs. It's not. Hey, it's okay. You've done this. You're going to be okay. It's all right. God loves you. Well, God loves you too. But if you do this one more time, you're going to lose your life. And I hope you're saved. But it's a life and death situation with the drugs.
That's right.
And it's straight from the devil, and I get really upset when he has his way with people like that, and he had it with me for so long, and I don't want to see nobody go through what I was going through.
Yeah, and so when people are trying to walk out of that, and they're trying to stay away from drugs or trying to stay away from that type of life that you've lived, how would you encourage them to tell them to keep going? Because, there's going to be times you're going to be tempted to go back or to do another. And so what would be a good, what would you tell them to help them?
To really, wherever their surroundings are, get plugged in. If they need to get out of their surroundings, find a faith-based rehab, no matter where it's at. church, most church, we have a like Celebrate Recovery here, and we've got a great bunch of people here that will help you with anything that you're going through. We went out and looked for people before. They didn't show up for the meeting and called us to, they needed help. We've got in the car and went and found them. We've chased them down.
that's what you need. You need someone to chase you down.
Yeah. So you need accountability, with, your peers. Find somebody that's on your level, that loves God and wants to see you succeed.
And so you talk about Celebrate Recovery. Is that something that you also lead and help with?
Mary Ann started this 2 years ago, and I went the second time. I think it was they'd had a good, and I heard about it, and I thought, man, I wonder if this is like AA, because I'd done AA, and they believe in a higher power there, and it don't have to be God, and I really did. I'm nothing bad about AA. I think it's a great program. But I like, God's really got to be in my program for me to do it, or I'm not going to do it. So,
right.
She started it, and it's just fall in there. And if she's not there, I'll be there. So it's one of us is going to be there all the time.
Well, that's awesome. So Celebrate Recovery. When do you guys have that?
It's every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock.
Every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock here in Wheeler.
Here in Wheeler at Cornerstone.
At Cornerstone Church. Mm-hmm. So if you guys are out there and you're listening and that's something that you would like to be a part of, we want to invite you to just come on out. They'll grab you and they'll love on you and they'll help you right where you're at and be glad to do that. So that's, again, Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock here at Cornerstone Church at 601 South Main Street here in Wheeler. And so write that down and remember that. So with that being said, I've kind of taken the microphone. Are you got anything to add to all this?
Well, I just think one thing that Devin said earlier is that when you pray, you know, God, if you're real, you know, that's most people don't know God in that position. Like you said, I was in church my whole life. I didn't know God. I knew of God, but I didn't know God. And I think we have so many people right now that know of God and don't know Him, and they're the ones that are in the trouble, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, if you know God, you're a whole lot less likely to be in this deep of trouble. Now, we still screw up, definitely. But, and then the people that don't know God at all, you know, that have zero relationship, that don't even know who He is, like you said, all you have to do is cry out, God, if you're real, show me something. And like you said, He will always show up because He wants you to know that He loves you and then He is real. And so, if you don't know, or you don't know Him, you just know of Him. That's all you have. It's simple. You don't have to be, you don't have to go to Bible college. You know what I mean? To find God. God will find you. Just you didn't find Him. He found you. But, I think that was real good that you didn't know really. You just look, if you're real, just show me something. And he right then He did. And He'll do that for every single person.
That's right.
That just calls out. And then also, you were talking about how you're being the light, whether you know it or not, and you say it's God, but that's God calls us to be the light to these people, and sound like that's people think a lot of times that they have to be these special. I have to have the gift of preaching, or I have to know the Bible inside and out, and I haven't even read the Bible, but you don't have to do none of that to go out and be a light unto these people, because especially like I said, these kids today, they're messed up. They are messed up from either the parents have failed or the parents weren't there. They're teaching them wrong in school in a lot of places. We see all that stuff, so they're confused, you know, and they don't know. Like I say, someone don't even know what sex they are. You know what I mean? So how can they know, you know what I mean, who they are and what they are if they don't even know what bathroom go to? You know what I mean?
And that so, God made them.
And
just
so
like
it's,
that.
Yeah. And so it's don't, they have a confusion over just general everyday life they can see and feel. So something in the spirit of like a God that's even that much harder for them to grasp. So when they see that, they see the church being the church. That's what draws them to us is, look, man, this guy here, he's going through, he's paying $5 a gallon to pump too, but you don't hear, he's not, why won't he ever gripe about it? You know what I mean? He just, fills up and goes on. And it's, they see the everyday stuff of life that we do, you know, especially let's say at work. You're always at work and you're always doing this, you're always doing that. That's what's drawing the dark people to the light. And we don't know how many people watch us and see us, but they do. And a whole lot more people watch us than we know, you know, and I've been that myself, you know, I mean, there are people that have told me that, hey man, you were always the same. I appreciate you for always being, you were always the same. You know, you weren't this way, this way, this way, this way, but you were consistently, that's that light in us that we're letting it shine. And like I said, you can just go to work, you know, you can sack groceries, you can sell Big Macs, whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of us think, well, Jesus told us to go out, you know, and do this. Well, you can do that on your job, you know what I mean? There's people right here in Wheeler that don't know Jesus. And it was Wheeler County and all over, you know. And you wouldn't think, you know, we're in the Bible Belt. Everyone's supposed to know Jesus. No, that's not true, you know. And so we think, some people, a lot of us, I think, when we get into mind, I always thought if you was to go, you know, Jesus said to go. When someone told me, okay, you're saved, you need to go. Well, automatically popped in my mind like Africa or something like that, where they don't know, they got spears and whatnot, they don't even speak English, you know, and you got to eat bugs and all that stuff, you know. That's not the goal, you know, that Jesus was saying. He's saying like you're doing. It's what you're doing, Dalen, is you are just every day being the light of Jesus, and the people see that and are drawn to you from that, you know, and I think it's awesome that people can see that and see, hey, you know what? Old Dalen, he, you know, I remember him when he was a teenager, you know. It's a small town. They know. They remember. You know what I mean? Man, that guy was screwed up. Now look at him. He's helping people and he's doing this and that. And it just gives them, maybe they can help me, you know. And they may have been the one that's been in the church the whole time and was judging and talking bad about old Dalen. He's going to hell for sure, you know, because he's this and that, you know. And those people are the ones that, you can even shed light on them, you know what I mean? The ones that, I call them Pharisees, the people that think they're better than the other ones, but, and most of those people don't know that they're that way. You know what I mean? They don't mean to be that way. They thought they were doing everything right when Jesus walked to earth, and they had the Son of God right in front of them, and they didn't even know it. And so, I think that just doing what you're talking about doing, as we be men of God and men of the church and you just do what Christ tells us to do, that's what draws, helps change the lives of these young men and women and people around us. And just doing our own little thing, you know. And sometimes I think I don't ever do nothing, you know. I didn't do nothing today for God. And then you get to heaven and God says, well done. You're like, well done? What'd I do? I just, you know, I sold groceries or I fed cows or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a list of rewards that you didn't even know that you were doing. You was just doing life, but you were doing it the best of your ability and best of what God had showed you to do.
And I appreciate you, Dalen, because you're a good example of someone that's saying yes. And that's what you did. You said yes, I'll do. When God came to you that night and said, you know, you want me to do this, but you can't even be a father to this kid, and mm-hmm. and God's going to use you. You said yes, and that's all it takes to be used by God is to say yes. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. God is going to use you as long as you say yes. And I think what a great ministry that you have, that you can be a father figure to the people that you are around. You know, and as James was talking about people being drawn to the light, it made me think of the bug zapper. You know, that used to be one of our favorite entertainments, sitting on the back porch watching that bug zapper. Yeah, I know, we call that redneck entertainment or something like that. And we just laugh every time that bug would get buzzed. And so, but people are drawn to the light, but we don't zap them. We just love them.
That's right.
And so when they're drawn in and we're that light. Makes it, you know, especially summertime right now, and you got your porch light on, and what happens? You walk out and you got all these bugs around your porch. You know what? That's what we want. We want people to come to us. And God uses us right where we're at in our own personalities. you know what, our personalities, like we are, I'm totally different than James, and you're totally different than James, and I'm different than you, and he can use you. There's people that we can reach that other people can't reach.
And that's right. Actually something God had spoke to me at a church on the square, you know, was that they had, the band had sang, they had the backers up here, and they were, had sang that, this little light of mine, and it just so blessed me. And God, when I was going up to, I had me come up to pray for the food, and I was going up there, and that's what God was told me. He said that we're to be a light unto the world, but when they come into that light, you're not supposed to be a bug zapper. You don't zap them, you know, because so many people come to church, right? And you got the world sees us as a hypocrite, you know. So as soon as you walk in the church, they judge you. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this, and they beat them over the head, and they don't come back to church, you know.
Right.
And God was like, you cannot be. That's not the light of the world. That's a bug zapper. Don't be a bug zapper. Be a light. And that was so that was something that God actually spoke to me that day on. That was pretty, you know.
Yeah. So I'm easily entertained by a bug zapper.
Cheap entertainment, I love it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So so now you and Brenda, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about you guys. You got married. When did you get married? And
oh, don't ask me hard questions. Yeah, I know. She's putting it. Yeah. I know her birthday now, but I think we've been married 7 years.
Oh,
a little
awesome.
Over 7 years now. And my son, and she has a daughter and a son, and we've got 5 grandchildren, which I have one of the grandkids was down for 2 weeks right now. Then we'll switch out with the other ones a week at a time over the summer. So,
oh, that's cool. And are you loving being a grandpa?
This other one, she's mean, and something, she come down this time and she's like a little angel, but once her parents are on the phone or she sees her parents, then she's mean again. I don't know what she's good long she's with us.
Yeah.
We love her.
Grandkids, you know, that's what you get to do as the grandpa. You get to, you know, spoil them, so they're always good. You know, grandpa always has chocolate and money and candy, so they're always good for that. And then parents show up, they know it's back to half day.
They know it's time to get back to the yeah, rules and everything.
Yeah. Grandpa don't have near the rules that we have
a lot of grace in our house for grandkids.
Yeah, that's right. Grandkids get a lot more grace than children did. And the kid's like, well, you never treated me that way. Yeah, well, you were a grandkid. So, and I think part of that, you know, and to me personally, we don't really have grandkids yet, but part of that is, you know, you as a parent, you raise your children, you try to do the best you can. But most of us are young, and you mess up a lot. You know, mm-hmm. We all know every mistake that we've made, so we're harder on ourselves than anybody else.
Right.
And so we don't want to make those same mistakes with the grandkids. And so I think a lot of that is wisdom that we've moved on, that we get to share with the grandkids that we didn't have with our own kids. So the kids kind of get cheated out of that, but because we didn't have the wisdom. And then the second part of it is, like I said, you can just – all you get is the good. You just spoil them and have fun, then you can just ship them off so you don't have to take care of it. But it's a mixture of both, you know. But a lot of it is we've learned what not to do, you know.
Right.
So, you know, as I think about your story and what you've said, and you had mentioned that some things just didn't happen overnight. How long of a process did it take from the time – you know, it was a process of when you started finding God, knowing that something needed to change, to where you are now, right now, or to where you were when you went to Life Challenge.
When I went in Life Challenge, I couldn't even say a prayer. I couldn't speak in front of people. I've spoken in front of 5,000 people now. But my first time to speak, I was there only maybe a month. And I spoke in front of it was a Lions Club. There's 11 guys there. I was nervous, didn't know what to do, I still don't know what to do today usually, but I was nervous. But afterwards, these guys were godly men, and they come up and talk to me, and they encouraged me, and they kept, and it got easier and easier each time. And like you talk about the weddings and the funerals, I don't think I ever get comfortable. The weddings aren't bad, they're fun. You still get nervous, and the funerals, I don't know, it's, God takes over when you're in it. So,
and so, because, you know, you're just right out of Life Challenge, or is that right? Am I saying it right? Life
mm-hmm.
Challenge?
Yes.
And people are asking you to do these weddings and these funerals. Now, how did you learn to do that? Because, I mean, it's hard.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Brother Joe mentored me for a while. And, and so from there on, and then Pastor Mercer. I mean, it's every pastor I run into, even the people I run into, and you can get help. And I've used some sermons of Pastor Mercer's. He keeps like on some funerals, and it's helped out a bunch. And you can do 3.1s or 4.0 or whatever you want to do during a funeral. And it's church. It's not there to.
You're not there for the dead. You're right there for the living.
And I remember one of the funerals I did, one of the, like the 34th, when Brother Joe told me I was trying to preach this person into heaven, evidently, because he told me, boy, don't ever do that again. And I said, do what? He said, don't try to preach them into heaven. They've already made their decision there wherever they're at. He said, you got to go by their fruits, and you better be honest, and you better tell the truth. Yes, sir. So that's where we was.
So you had a mentor then.
Yes.
So you've had mentors that you can rely on. So how important do you think it is for people to have a mentor?
Oh, I think you can't do it without it. I think you better have you a godly man in your life to, and you better be surrounded by godly men, because you've got to have God's word. And if you're not, if you don't know the answers, you can always, like, if I need to go to James or something, I can go talk to him. If I need Pastor Mercer, just, even Mary Ann, she's a big part in my life too. She has the word on her tongue constantly. So it's, you just ask, and what God don't give you, you can always ask, and what the hell they feel about what God's placing on your life. So.
Yeah, that's right. And so we don't have to do it on our own. We need mentors, and
yes.
God's placed those. He has those people for us. Mm-hmm. You can find mentors here at Cornerstone Church, and
right.
So. Yeah, that's really important. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I mean,
it's a pleasure.
Such a great testimony of God's goodness in your life, how He has restored and brought things back, and even I think about where you were going to go back to work at this grocery store that you actually had stolen from. And isn't God good?
Oh yes, He's great.
I mean, we think is the end of our world, God can turn it into the best. Mm-hmm. And He can use our ashes and turn it to beauty. And I believe that's what He's done in your life.
He has every answer to every question. He has it all.
And yeah.
He don't mind giving it to you neither. So
that's
all
right.
You have to do is ask.
That's right. And so thank you so much for joining us. Thank you guys so much tonight for joining us. I just want to remind you that we have our website, which is SundayNightLive.org, where we have archived our shows from the previous times. And so with that being said, after tonight, we'll actually have this show on there. So if you know somebody that this show would bless, you can actually go onto our website and share that with them. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, things going on right now with drugs. And so maybe that can be a blessing to other people. So be sure and go and check that out. Check out our Facebook page. We try to make announcements of what we have coming. And also on our website, I have an email address, and so just email me, let me know that the show is blessing you, and we'd be glad to hear from you. It's really nice. Now, Jim up there, my engineer.
Yes, ma'am.
Just wanted to make note and give you mention up there of all your great work that you do for us. He's our engineer and producer and
webmaster.
And webmaster. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And so thank you to him.
So I will have this program on the website after our show tonight.
Yes. So. And so if it wouldn't have been for them, we wouldn't have that. So we just want to say thank you guys so much for following us and tuning in. And we will see you next week.
Good night, everyone.